Okay, John Mullins, David, can you go over how the guarantee that you proposed in 2008 was different from the one implemented by the government? Yeah, John, this is something that if I had known what Brian Lennon was going to do with that idea, I wouldn't have opened the door to him that night, actually, if the truth be known. I think the idea at the time was, I got a call from Minister of Finance, who I said, "What do you want to talk about?" He said, "The banks," and I believe he was talking to a lot of people. Okay, so I said, "Well, listen, I'm at home." He said, "I'll swing around." It was all very strange, very unusual, very unusual thing to happen to you, I think, to any of us in the middle of a crisis. But anyway, the long and the short of it, he said, "What would you do?" And I said, "Listen, there's only two countries who have ever stopped a run of their banks in its tracks. There's only two countries who have ever done it: Sweden in 1992 and Switzerland in 1993. And sorry, Sweden in 1993 and Switzerland in 1994. And the Swedish thing, it was interesting because I, in 1994, I'd gone to work for UBS, that Swiss bank that I worked for a while, and we did a lot of work in Sweden at the time, so I was pretty au fait with what the Swedes had done. And from my memory, it looked that we were having a very similar type of scenario as the Swedes had. So the Swedes introduced a guarantee overnight, but what they also did was the Swedes made it very narrow. They looked at the other side of the balance sheet to make sure the guarantee covered not everything, not the subordinated loans. They also fired all their top management of the banks. They cleared out the whole thing. They also devalued their currency, and they closed down banks and forced creditors to take big haircuts. They did that all in 2 months. 2 months, they did everything. So they introduced the guarantee, they devalued the currency, they closed down bad banks. They did deals with creditors. They forced small banks that were insolvent, they either closed them or they folded them into bigger banks. And they fired all the top managements of the banks to send a signal to the world that the country had changed, that the country was open for business on a different level. So giving the guarantee was the easy part. The hard part was following it up. And I remember going on questions and answers about a week after the guarantee and outlining that this is what we had to do to make sure that the guarantee could work. Now, none of that was done. So I believed that a guarantee was that you lend, the idea is you lend the banks, lend it. You lend the banks the credibility of the state for a fixed period with huge conditions attached. What the government seemed to do is they gave the banks the credibility of the state with no conditions. And then in the period, the 2 year period during the guarantee, they did nothing or very little. Now, as early as December, so the guarantee was what, in October? As early as December, it started to dawn on me that this was not panning out the way I'd expected, but not just I'd expected, the way normal economic practice was. If you'd gone to the history, you'd have known how to do things, or this is the way to do things. So I remember started writing that this is beginning to unravel, this whole process. And I remember going to Marion Finucane in the January of 2009, so that's 3 months after the guarantee, and said we would default and we'd end up negotiating with the EU and we'd end up at loggerheads with the European Central Bank unless we did something about cleansing the banks. And again, you're kind of laughed at then. And it was a whole process which culminated in April of 2009 with Brian Lenihan taking out a 1,000-word article in The Independent to actually attack me personally, which I think was probably a first by a finance minister attacking a journalist or an economist, a commentator. And because I had said that the guarantee should be rescinded, the way it was going and the way we were implementing it meant that we should actually now change our minds. Now, he said you couldn't do this, but I believe that that's what adults do in a crisis. Keynes always said, "When the facts change, I change my mind. What do you do, sir?" When he was asked about why he'd changed his mind. And the facts changed in the first 6 months of the guarantee. And I believe we could have used the guarantee then as an umbrella to save the banks we wanted, to crush the banks we didn't want, and more importantly, to focus the minds of the creditors to say, we're not minded to pay this money back to you. Get into a room and let's do a deal. Now, it would have meant a government change in its mind, but I believe that's what we do as adults when the facts change. We've got to change our mind. There's nothing worse than having the insecurity or not being secure enough to change your mind. There's nothing worse than saying, I made my decision a year ago and I'm sticking by it, even though we know that it's unravelling. And there's nothing worse than giving the Irish people's sovereign guarantee or sovereign, how would you say, credibility, and then abusing it. So that's what I think happened, and it's been something that has dismayed me as a citizen and as for the last 2 years. But even worse still, when the guarantee was up in September, it should have been up. End of story. But for some reason we keep prolonging it and postponing its end. And now we have a crazy situation where all the losses of the banks are socialised. And we will now default, as I said to Marion Finucane over two years ago, we will now default as a result of it. And that is something that, as an Irish person, an Irish man, whatever you, citizen, it's something that is a disaster for us. But we can still get out of it. We can still get out of it by, again, doing the right thing now. And there still is time. Okay, we'll just answer a couple more of these questions. It's over an hour. Okay, hi, David. How is it that we are still... How is all this still a banking problem when all the loans were insured through CDSs, etc.? Why are the banks not allowed to use these instruments to pay for IE? Bank failures should not cause major losses if insured correctly. So is there a problem with the bank securitization program? Well, that's a very good question, right? The CDSs are insurance products which can be used, which are very active. Again, I come back to the idea is if the insurance market is working properly, then there shouldn't be a problem. And we have two of the biggest insurers in the world are now headquartered in Ireland, Aviva, and I was at the game yesterday, so you don't need to remind me of that, but Aviva and Zurich are two of the biggest insurers in the world. They're headquartered here. They would love the business of sitting down and insuring deposits and seeing how much they'd pay for it. I mean, this is a huge ticket for an insurance company, or maybe Allianz, another huge insurance company. So it seems to me that there are commercial ways open to us still, that we could sit down with big insurers and say, how do we insure a certain part of the banking system at a time when we're leaving another part of the banking system go? Now, they might say, well, hold on a second, your premium will be higher for a certain while simply because you have this legacy. But clearly, isn't it better to have a higher insurance premium and use that as a way out, then face this sovereign default, which we know would have catastrophic impacts, not just for us, but for the perception of Ireland abroad. For example, and I'm very persuaded by the arguments made recently by Willie Slattery of State Street, and I think he's a man to listen to, he's a good man. He said, you know, the problem with the sovereign default is that corporate America would walk away. Not walk away, but they'd feel very uncomfortable. We can't afford that. So if you see what I mean, rather than doing the simple thing, we're threatening the catastrophic thing in order to save face. And that face-saving exercise is crucial to all this. We haven't the self-confidence to admit that we are weak. So we were going for the last 2.5 years to the European Union pretending we were stronger than we were. But we are weak. And sometimes in all aspects of life, the beginning of a liberation process, the beginning when you start to feel better, is actually you admit to yourself, God, you know, I'm weak, I've made a mistake, and then you start again. We don't seem to be able to do it. Private insurance, is clearly one of the ways that we can help ourselves. Hooper, Nobody ever admits to agreeing with the guarantee, what the guarantee did on on that day. Okay. They must have got advice on the guarantee on bank debts. Who gave this advice? Was it unqualified politicians, civil servants who made the decision? Is that Hopper or Hooper? Hopper. Well, I tell you what. The bank guarantee as issued in Sweden worked. Okay? That's the starting point. When you're asked, what would you do? You've got a choice. But to answer your question, I have no idea who actually filled in the blanks in the guarantee, in the sense of the overall idea was, has it worked in some other countries? Is there anything that has worked? Because we were right down to the wire. I said this guaranteed worked in Sweden. Let's have a look at it. I have no idea who filled in, you know, why subordinated debt was included, why the timescale was what it was, why it was so open. That's where I draw a complete blank, and I'm very frustrated as to what happened. But you got to think of it like a forest fire. At the time, there was a forest fire raging in Ireland. You have a choice if you're asked what you would do about it. You say, okay, either we can put it out, or we can let it rage and see where it goes. Now, there are many people who now say we should have let it rage and see where it goes. We then would have risked the forest fire burning up the whole place. So you've got to try and put a stop to it. But the question now, and what I find, you know, unusual, is that the pyromaniacs who started the forest fire are the bankers, and they are still in their positions of power in many cases. The people who tried to put out the fire, okay, had one strategy. What struck me is that at some stage, the bankers must have sat down with the politicians during that pivotal 6 or 7 weeks after the guarantee, when the bells and whistles were being put onto the legislation. And they must have convinced the politicians and the civil servants to make it broader and broader and broader. And that's why people like me, who thought we could follow the Swedish model, and maybe I was naive, you know, maybe I was stupid to think that we could behave like Swedes when we were actually paddies. I don't know, maybe I was, and in hindsight maybe that's the conclusion I have to draw myself. But I thought that we could do what the Swedes did and maybe draw a line under it. We took the idea of the Swedes, and then we did that horrible thing as we created an Irish solution to an Irish problem, which is an expression that tends to keep me awake at night in a cold sweat.